We're going to show another video here in a moment, and it's a little bit different. It's about going about evangelism, and it's a comedy, but it makes you think, and I want you guys to just think about it for a minute. So go ahead and roll the other one.
Here at the National Institute for Student Ministries, we've discovered a new method of evangelism that is shaking the very foundation of our thinking. It may appear unorthodox, but frankly, we're shocked with the results. We're amazed at this revolutionary idea, especially designed to boost student evangelism.
Why did I want to be the evangelism linebacker? Well, let me put it to you like this.
Yeah, baby! Next time I'm gonna hit you so hard, you're going to flight. NASA's gonna think I didn't launch a satellite.
You see, as a fish was created to swim in water, as a bird was created to fly, I was created to knock people out who don't evangelize.
The evangelism linebacker deals directly with a variety of students' fears associated with sharing their faith.
All right, it's all you. This house has got your name on it.
I'm not ready yet.
What makes you think I'm ready, though?
Fear of rejection, for example.
Let me talk to you about fear. 4th and 1, Jerry Rice, what you gonna do? That don't compare to 4th and 1 in eternity.
It doesn't matter who rejects us because we're always accepted by Christ.
God loves you. Get off the flow and go door to door.
Can we talk to you for a minute?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, baby.
He loves you, but it might hurt.
Sometimes I'll blow you up, but it's because I love you.
Yeah, but just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I need to be out sharing my faith. I mean...
Don't you run from me! You can't escape my grasp! D-Gray will throw you in the trash!
Thanks to the evangelism linebacker, campus evangelism nationwide is up 87%.
I'll never do it again.
Hey, I can't go to the outreach today. I just got some more important things I gotta do. Uh-huh. Hey, man, give me a break. I went to church on Sunday. I gotta go.
Selfishness! The world needs a message! For God to love the world, it wants to communicate it through you. If you procrastinate, you will open up the gate to a beatdown. Give me that phone, boy.
When I see selfishness, it is my job to blow them up. That's what I do. I blow them up so that they can get their eyes off of self and look at Christ, the prize.
What's up, baby girl? Nah, I'm busy.
We're intrigued, as the linebacker is particularly effective in infiltrating centers of cultural and intellectual exchange.
Here you go. Here's your double cappuccino latte mocha with a twist. Not too hot, not too cold. Perfect for you.
Anyway, man, did you hear that talk from that guy the other night?
Oh, I know. Like, we were supposed to be sharing our faith in, like, a coffee shop.
Whoa! Whoa! Shut out in a coffee shop, baby! You next!
It's unlikely that the recent decline in coffee sales has anything to do with our program.
Pride comes before the fall. That's Old Testament. Old Testament, you know this.
Thanks for the coffee, Darren.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a nice day. Your mama raised you better than this, boy. Don't let me blow you up no more.
You see, I think it's fitting because when people have pride, that they're too prideful to share their faith, what I do is I knocks the pride out of them. What I would like to communicate to my brothers and sisters is this. When you least expect, around the corner, perhaps even under your bed, I can be in a phone wire. I can be everywhere. And just know that I'm always watching, ready to lay the boom on you, baby. Booyah!
Ouch. Are you ready for game day?
Now, guys, that was a joke, meaning you're not supposed to actually do anything that you saw in the video. Sorry. I'm not condoning anything that's on the video. Yes. Yes, don't try any of that outside. But what do you guys, there is a serious point to the video. It's not supposed to be all just, it's hilarious, but what are we getting from it, guys? Okay. If that actually happened, would you be more motivated to share your video? Don't knock people down and try to be nice to them. That's good, yes. Anything else? Nothing? Nothing? Man, maybe we shouldn't have shown that video. All right, guys, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for the Sabbath day we've just come through, and as it closes here tonight, we ask that you would be with us, and that you would let us choose to serve you, to focus on you, to stand for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What if you let your light shine? We've been talking about what if statements. What if you stood for God? What if you walked by faith? What if you let your light shine? Where does it talk about in the Bible light? About us being light? Anybody know? You're the light of the world. Where is it? I don't know. Anybody know? Who has their Bibles? Okay. That's not yours, but you have one. All right. Turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. There's many places it talks about light. This is one of them we're going to look at today. We're going to get into the Bible a little more tonight. So I hope if you have one or if you have access to one, grab a Bible. Matthew 5 verse 14. Yes. Matthew 5 verse 14 is one of the places. Let's read this. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all in the house." It's Matthew 5, 14 and 15. So the nature of light, I want to look at this for a minute. Has anybody ever made a decision when it's dark? What decision did you make when it was dark? Okay, maybe like a decision to do something that isn't the smartest thing to do in the dark. Anybody? I had some friends that went mountain biking, and they wanted me to come, and they said, "We're going to go at night. We know the trail. We're going to put little lights on our bikes, and they're only going to go about 6 feet in front of us." And they told me the next day they crashed, all of them, about 10 times. they never got very far down the track. They're trying to do something at dark. It's dangerous to do certain things at night or at dark. Bad decisions sometimes can be worse when you're at night. I've experienced trying to crawl beside a road at night and getting cut by bottles that were thrown there. You can have bad experiences when the light, but what does the light do? What does light in this room? It does what? Helps you see. It removes darkness. Sometimes it keeps you warm. It reveals a path. Those guys on the mountain bikes could see about 4 or 5 feet. It reveals things that are hidden. And it shows the blemishes. It can show something that's maybe not what it should be. When you're looking at something in the dark, sometimes it doesn't look so bad. And Jesus is the real light of the world. We read in John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "Jesus is the light, the true light of the world." And in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk in the light of life." We are to reflect that light. So if you picture a mirror reflecting light from the sun, you can blind people with that, but we're not going to do that. But if you have a mirror reflecting light, if I turn the mirror, what happens to the light? It reflects. But if I turn away from the sun over here and aim the mirror over here, is there any? There's no light. Okay? So I have a question for you. If you are not the light of the world, or if you're not shining Jesus' light, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're just choosing not to shine it, that you still have Jesus, but you're just choosing not to share it? That means that we're not focused on Christ. Because the mirror can't help but reflect what it's looking at, right? Neither can we. If we're truly looking at Christ, we can't help but share. We can't help but stand up. We can't help but work for him. It will be just be what happens because we're focused on him. Our lives are to reflect the mind and the will of God. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Do you guys believe that? Who believes that? Raise your hand. So those who don't believe it, why not? Anybody want to say? Or are you just not listening to the questions? What? Are you chosen for something? We talked about this morning if you're chosen for something. Who believes you're chosen for something? Raise your hand. So the five people who are tracking with me. All right. Who believes God has something for you in your life? Who believes it? Raise your hands. Maybe. All right. Ephesians, it says, for you were formerly in darkness. We talked about that man who was formerly a slave and was free but didn't know it. But now you are the light of the world, it says. Walk as children of the light of the world. And the light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth. The light will expose the true. In John chapter 15, it reads, if you love me, what? If you love me, what? There's five of people that, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So, do we do that? Who loves God in the room? Who keeps his commandments? Who loves God, guys? This half of the room does, this half of the room doesn't over here. Raise your hand if you love God. Above your head. All right, that makes me feel better. Okay, we're in the right place. All right. Do we always keep his commandments? Sometimes, it's hard. We mess up, like we talked about today. We fall down sometimes. We don't do what we're supposed to do. But it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we talked about this morning calling out to him if we fall down. And God will help us to keep his commandments. If we understand that we reflect light, then it helps us see our need to be Christ followers. We have to stand for Christ, as we've talked about. Also, the Father will help us to shine his light. He is the source of light. And the farther we get from that source, as we talked about a moment ago, the dimmer it's going to get. In Philippians 2, it says, so then, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in the absence of God you will love. Work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. What does that mean, to work out your own salvation? To see if you're going to make it on your own power? No. To make a choice? To change? Check if you're connected to God? Okay, that's good. Huh? Sheldon Cooper connected a few years, that was a few years ago, yeah. There's a story of a lighthouse keeper who lived in a remote town, and every year he would be brought a huge bin of oil to run his light. And this one year, he got this bin of oil, and he's to run his light all year. And some people of the town asked him for a little bit of his oil so they could do whatever they needed to do at their house, or they could run a lamp, or they could fix something at their house. They needed a little bit, and he thought it was okay to just give a little bit. He gave a little bit to somebody, and he gave a little bit to somebody else. And this lighthouse keeper at the end of the year was out of oil. In the last 3 or 4 days of the year, he realized he was out and he wasn't going to get any more oil. And several ships that evening crashed and all on board died because he took his light and used it for something he wasn't supposed to. He took his light and used it for what the town wanted it to use. Jesus talks about that, about using the light for the wrong thing, about the Pharisees. You know, we can do good things. We can do nice things for the wrong reasons. Give me an example, guys. Doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Anybody? Hypocrisy, yeah. Going to church, if you do it, for what reason? What did the Pharisees do for the wrong reason? What did the Pharisees do? What? Prayed in public so that everyone could hear what they were saying. They made sure that everyone knew how much they gave. They counted it out when they put it in whatever wherever they were taking it to. What else? They condemned other people. They pointed the finger rather than looking at their selves sometimes. So, have you ever done the right thing for the wrong reason? Yeah. I'm not going to ask you to name what that is, but I've done the right thing sometimes for the wrong reason. And it's a lot of times pride gets in the way, selfishness gets in the way. So we can use something that God has given us, a talent that God's given us, something that we know we're supposed to do. You can go door to door and do it for the wrong reasons, guys. It's not just, you can stand up and do it for the wrong reasons. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up when everyone else kneeled down and were thinking something in their heads to do it for their own self, it would have been for the wrong reasons. So I'm challenging you not to just act the part, not to just sit in a chair or stand or raise your hand just because everyone else is, but to use your talent, to use whatever God's calling you to do for the right reasons. And that means a conversion, not just on the outside, not just I want to go to heaven, but I want God to change me from the inside, not just my actions, not just what I do, but what I do and how I think about what I do. Because we have to keep our focus on him, as we learned with Peter. We have to stand for him, as the other stories we looked at Friday night. Guys, I want you to think about situations in your life that you've made the wrong decision, and next time they come, how are you going to make the right decision? Let's say you can get angry easily. Think about a time you've gotten angry. And next time that happens, the same exact set of circumstances, what are you going to do differently? Or are you just going to let it happen? Are you just going to do this exact same thing? You're going to try to do the exact opposite. Because guys, there's so many events in our life that if we don't think, I'm going to make this decision when this happens, we're going to fall. If Eve, when she went to the tree, had already made up her mind, I'm not going to even walk by that tree, that might not have ever happened. But Eve went to the tree and hadn't made up her mind totally what she would do in that situation, maybe. So I'm telling you guys, challenging you to make up your mind before you go into the situation. Before you go to that party where you know there's going to be drugs at, maybe don't go to the party. Make up your mind before you get there. Set those roadblocks in before you walk into that room. We are the light, guys. If we say we love Jesus, people are looking at us. Somebody who's never met Jesus in his life is going to look at you and say, he loves Jesus. This is what Jesus is like. Come up here for a minute. Come up here. I can pick on you. Come here. How many of you guys know this guy? A few people want to claim that they know him. Huh? Yeah, I know. They just want to say they don't know. Yeah, I know. I know a lot of you guys know this guy, especially from Miracle Meadows. But if all you had to go on was, I'm not asking you to answer, so please don't. But if all you had to go on was what his words and actions were, don't answer. It would be hard. And I can use myself too. We all mess up. I'm challenging you that sometimes that's all they see, is this guy saying he loves Jesus, and that's all somebody's going to know about Christ. And that's the same for you and you and everyone in this room, that we show people what Christ is like by our actions. You can sit down. Thank you. Sorry. So we say we want to be better. We stood up today saying we're going to ask God what he's asking us to do. So now it's time at the end of today, at the end of this week, are we really going to change? Are we really going to be the light of the world? Are we really going to be that mirror that reflects Jesus? Because like I mentioned earlier, guys, when we are changed by him, when his love fills our heart, we can't help but reflect it. We can't help but be changed in the presence of God. Amen? Amen. So I challenge you guys tonight to accept God's challenge, to focus on him and to do the right things for the right reasons, not just so the people who are watching can see what you're like and increase your status. Shine your light to him. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here tonight. Lord, we ask that you would be with this group of young people. Lord, we know what's right. We know what you've asked us to do. We want to stand for you. We want to focus on you. And we want your light to shine through us. Lord, let the mirror of our life focus on you and not turn away, where we don't even know that we're preaching about you through our actions. It just happens because we're focused on you. Let it not be about ourselves. Let us not be selfish, showing other people what we think we can do, but let us show other people what you can do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.